Welcome to the Bellied Up Podcast. Who are we chit-chatting with today?
My name's Taylor.
Hey, Taylor. How you doing? Where are you calling in from?
The greatest state in the United States, that would be Wisconsin.
Hell yeah, you are. I like it. Where in Wisconsin?
I'm driving a dump truck around the Madison area right now. I live right outside Madison. So.
Oh, there you go. Good for you. Happy dumping today, huh?
Absolutely.
Well, belly up to the bar. What's on your mind?
So I got a family cottage up in northern Wisconsin. Beautiful area. It's about 20 miles north of Hayward.
Oh, yeah.
And
on the chip flowage? No, that's west. Never mind.
No.
Keep going.
No, it's more north than that. It's like essentially it's in between Hayward and like Rural.
Oh, sure.
Or like Superior.
Yeah.
Yep.
Love that area.
So, family cottage. I own it with my 15 other cousins. It's been passed down through generations of the family and stuff like that. And the thing that gets me the worst is these weekend warriors that come up and tear up the water. And they, like, you go out there fishing, and we just got, like, a little 16-foot fishing boat, little 15-horse motor. I mean, it's a big lake, but it's not huge.
Yeah.
And you got these people that come up, and they're just are super rude about, you know, just driving by you super fast and jet skis and stuff, and within, I would say, 100 feet all the time. So my question is, how do I go about dealing with these folks?
Well, the thing about Wisconsin is there's a surplus of fireworks and bottle rockets. No, you don't want to shoot bottle rockets at them. That's a last-ditch scenario, okay? So I think we should start, actually, by bringing Miles into the conversation because Miles is a jet skier.
Well, I have it. My parents have a jet ski. I don't know. It's been a while since I've been on one, you know?
Miles, as a jet skier, do you know the rules of the lake, how far you're supposed to stay from?
No, I absolutely have no idea. Mostly, you just got to use the eyeball test, right? You're like, I'm far enough away from that guy. I mean,
with a fishing boat specifically, though.
Yeah, you try to avoid fishing boats. How big is this lake? Like, is 100 feet, like, you know, 100 feet, that's what?
Well, no, I mean, it's a mile across. So I've had two cousins that have trained for the Ironman, and they've done it. And they've swam completely across the lake with us following them in the pontoon boat. They swam completely across, and that's a mile completely across the lake.
Oh, okay.
So
you got
them. I mean, it's a decent sized lake.
Yeah. So there's plenty of room for people to move around, but you're out there fishing on your 16 foot 15 horse. Sounds like an Alumacraft type deal, and they're just getting within 100 feet of you. Did you say?
Well, I did the non-Midwest nice thing one time. I yelled at a guy that was no less than 50 feet from me.
Well, 50 foot, yeah,
close.
No, that's what is the actual?
That was on a jet ski.
I don't even know the actual rule. How far? I usually try to stay a couple hundred feet away, especially from a fishing boat, because they got the cast going. So I don't want to, you know.
Right. So I think by the Wisconsin DNR, when I took motor safety when I was 12 years old, it was 200 feet from a fishing vessel.
Yeah. I like how you call it a vessel, too. You know, you got a 16 foot boat. No, that's a vessel. That's what's up.
Charlie, where my head's going is
fishing kayak, still a vessel.
Where my head's going, Charlie, is we need to start coming up with some techniques to keep them away.
Okay.
You know, I think what you could do is maybe get some buoys of some sort, you know, and put them around your boat. I don't know if that would take too much time to put out. Could do that. What else could you do,
like
Charlie?
Shallow water buoys.
Yeah, like maybe just a buoy that just says rocks on it.
Oh, that's not a bad thing. Yeah, if you see a random buoy out there, you're going to stay away. Although, if you're in a jet ski, you don't care about dinging your prop. So,
yeah, but at least they won't go inside the buoy, you know?
They're
not crazy people. They're just dickheads, you know?
Maybe if you see a jet skier getting close, you just buzz the tower a little bit, you know? You can fight a little fire with fire. You're casting some junk, so, you know, they got to learn somehow.
just pull out the musky rod and throw a giant bucktail on and throw it.
Yeah, you know, although now that I'm saying that, those jet skis go fast. That might be how someone loses an eyeball. So you don't want to go to jail over this.
Here's what you could do. You could get a decoy boat, because no matter what, sounds like these jet skiers are just addicted to pissing off fishermen. Get a decoy boat, set that out further, anchor it, put some like fake cardboard cutouts of you fishing on it. Then they can mess with that fishing boat over there and leave you alone.
Yeah, I feel like we should booby trap it somehow, though.
Yeah.
What's a way we can teach a jet skier a lesson without actually hurting them? I think that's the deal. And if we, what's that?
Okay, so there used to be some rules on the lake that you couldn't jet ski between the hour, or you could only jet ski between the hours of 8 a.m. until 4 p.m. And that was including jet skis and water sports, being like skiing, tubing, wakeboarding, stuff like that. Well, that got taken down because a bunch of the bar owners said they were losing revenue because people weren't out on the lake all day. So that was your, those other times were your leisure time and your fishing time or whatever. Those got taken down. Well, these guys come out at 6:30 in the morning with their jet ski and just tear the lake up.
I feel like I'm at a city council meeting right now.
I do, too. Yeah. I do, too.
And we're at the county meeting, and it's like those jet skiers are causing issues. We used to have this rule, and you took it away. What's the compromise going
to
be?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of that, too, because, you know, the bar owners, you got to think, who's keeping those bars afloat when it's not summer, you know, when it's not peak season? It's the fishermen.
True.
It's the fishermen. They for the longevity of the bar, the fishermen, are the foundation of a lot of these bars. It's just how it goes, especially when the fishing's bad. You know, I mean, that's the thing about fishermen. Fishing's good. You're celebrating. Fishing's bad. You know, you're having a few. It's raining out. You're at the bar. So I think these bar owners really need to know who's really footing the bill, you know. And if people aren't out on the lake, they can go to the bar.
So the problem with fishermen, though, is that they bring their own beer on their boat. That they're not going to the bar as much.
I'm trying to. Yeah, that is.
Have you tried filling up another cooler full of water balloons? And yeah.
That's it. So they got these water balloon slingshots.
Yeah.
And
yep.
Get a you're going to want to change one of your fishing chairs on the front of the boat to a turret setup.
You just got to make your fishing boat a little pirate ship.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what it is. And put up a flag. And that way, when they see that flag, they will know that they're going to get pelted. And anywhere within that, the radius of your slingshot, you've seen those slingshot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Get one of those deals.
That's... Fill them with like apple juice, though, so then they get sticky.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
vinegar.
Vinegar. Yeah. That's good.
Vinegar balloons. That actually would piss me off if I was jet skiing.
You don't want to do anything that's going to ruin their vessel. You just want to do something to make them never come back by you.
Exactly. And if you got the pirate ship rolling, then you're good to go.
Yeah. Yeah. And then on your way to your next fishing spot, you should chase them a little bit, you know? Make them know your deal. And also, you got that 15 horse on there. Yeah, you're not going to really chase him, are you?
Yeah, I think the biggest move, Charlie, is he's got to go on the offensive.
Yeah.
You've been passive and too defensive for too long. I think we need to set up a vinegar balloon, water balloon, turret setup on the front of the boat. You see one of them getting too close, you know, you can keep your line in the water. But now you're fishing below water and you're fishing and hunting above water as well.
Yeah, it actually is more fun.
Yeah, he's going to end up going out there just to hit jet skiers with water balloons instead of fishing at all. You're going to be like, I was so excited about this turret water balloon setup, I forgot my rods in my truck.
Yep, that's the move right there. I think we solved it for you.
Yep. That's got to be the move. I just got to find some biodegradable water balloons because there's a
lot of balloons.
I forgot about that.
That is true.
Yeah, you'll find them.
Because if you send those balloons into the water, you're going to suffocate your fish, you know, or your ducks or something. So, yeah, you don't want to do that.
Yeah. You'll find something, though.
Yeah. And it,
we'll figure something out. Maybe a giant net, like a big gill net, but it just wraps around their prop and their boat just stops and the jet ski just stops.
Yeah, just a few times when I was a kid, I ran over the rope with a jet ski and it got all caught up in the motor and stuff, and that put us out of commission for a while. Just lay out some skiing ropes all the way around your, like a 200-foot skiing rope from all directions of your boat. And then they're not going to want to run that over.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. And
we're talking.
Yeah, and that's where you can put those floating buoys just at the top of the ski rope, you know, because the ski rope might sink. So, yeah.
Right.
And make some.
We'll put out the buoys like the swimming lines at a swimming pool. You know, they got them little buoys every like 12 inches.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what we'll have.
Yep.
Then you just got to be careful not to get snagged on those. Last thing you want is to have a big muskie on and it wraps itself around one of those ropes. Then you're going to lose the muskie and you're going to be even more upset. But, we got enough to work with here. A little brainstorming.
Yeah. They got to make biodegradable.
At this point, I'm sure they're doing. Yeah. Yeah. I would think.
Yeah. Well, I think we found a few options for you.
Slingshot.
Yeah, you like.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to design the slingshot, and then I might have to send you guys a picture. You're just gonna get a picture randomly next summer when I go back up there.
Yep.
So
it's just gonna be a random slingshot.
That's nice. Yeah, you just right in front. Yeah, get yourself. That'll be great. I don't know how you're gonna mount that to the top of your boat, but you'll find a way.
You found a new sport. Honey, I'm going hunting. She's like, I thought you were going fishing. No, I'm hunting jet skiers today. Yeah.
That'll be great, man. I'm excited for you.
It'll become the next professional sport.
Yeah.
Do you have those wake boats on your lake as well?
Yeah, there's a couple. There's not a lot. There's more people that go out and like ski right away in the morning, but there's a lot of jet skis, a lot of pontoons.
Yeah.
There's not as many wakeboard boats, which is kind of nice.
Yeah. Nice. On a small lake like that, like those things are so annoying, man. It's way too much.
Yeah. It just tears up the shoreline and big waves all over the place.
Yeah. Those things drive me nuts. I mean, if you get it like a big body of water, that's one story. But if you're on one of the little lakes, it's like, man, those things shouldn't be there. Anyways, well, it was good chit-chatting with you.
Yeah. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Absolutely. Yeah, no problem. And good luck fishing.
And hunting.
Yeah. Appreciate that. You guys have a good one.
You too.
I'm going to be honest, Charlie, that just sounds like good old-fashioned
fun.
Sounds
like a great time.
Yeah.
Knowing jet skiers I know, they would find that sporting as well.
Yeah, then it maybe draws them in.
That would attract them.
And all of a sudden, they got like blood in the water. They're just all circling. You're like, this really backfired.
Yeah.
Yeah, we probably should have told him that while he was still on the line.
He'll find out.
Yeah. Sorry about that, my guy. But, Charlie, should we take another caller?
Let's do it. Welcome to the Bellied Up Podcast. Who is on the line today?
Hey there. My name's Charlie.
Charlie, I like you already. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Doing great. What's cooking? What's on your mind? Belly on up to the bar with us.
Yeah. So I wanted to call in and I wanted to ask you guys, trying to get into hunting, as it were, but I don't want to look like a goober about it. I want to kind of get into it, but still kind of be casually cool, I guess.
What kind of hunting you thinking about, Charlie?
The long-term goal would be kind of elk or deer hunting, but I'm also kind of interested in maybe some bird hunting. There's a lot of turkeys in my area. I think that might be a kind of good place to dip my toes in the water.
So you said elk? Is that what he said?
He said elk or deer initially. Now, elk, I don't recommend you start with the elk.
That's, you're going to want to not start with elk.
Yeah, long term, that's the goal, fill the freezer with elk. But,
yeah, let's build up to that.
Exactly. Yeah, now where do you live, Charlie?
I'm in Southwest Colorado.
Oh, so he's in elk territory over there.
Okay, well, what you're worried about looking like kind of a dweeb out there hunting? What
a noob?
Yeah. What do you? What's the first thing on your mind that you're worried about?
Well, you know, I guess I don't want to look like I'm just kind of walking out of a Coleman catalog or anything. But I also don't want to dive fully into it and, you know, all camo everything and make that my whole personality.
Yeah. Have you ever?
Kind of that middle.
What's your experience with hunting or guns or anything so far? Have you ever shot anything? I don't know if you're thinking bow. I don't know if you're thinking gun. Like, you got any experience?
You know, I did a little bit. So I grew up in Alaska, and I did some bird hunting there. I would go grouse hunting with just a little 22. And so I've got, you know, some guns, some experience, but it's definitely been a while. And I'm also open, you know, I am intrigued by bow hunting. I would be interested in getting into archery.
Yeah.
Well, I think first step, we'll start with the gear, Charlie.
Yeah.
If you have anything that is matching, you're going to look like a noob out there, okay? Everything looks like, it needs to look like you acquired it over the years. So if maybe you go raid your dad's closet or a uncle or something, maybe steal a sweatshirt from him, maybe some pants from Goodwill, and then you can have one piece item that actually is pretty nice and new on there. But I think that's where you got to start, Charlie. What do you think?
Yeah, I would start. And also you got to figure out what you're going to do. So if you're bow hunting, you're going camo. If you're gun hunting, you're going blaze orange. I've never hunted elk. I don't even know what the hell you wear hunting elk. It's camo, isn't it?
It's got to be camo because you're kind of tracking it.
Yeah, you're tracking it.
And yeah.
Yeah, so I would start off, I like your idea of starting off with bird hunting. If you're doing turkey, and I like the bow idea too. I think you get yourself a bow and you just start going after it. It's a little bit more difficult than gun, but just start doing it, and then camo is where you're at with that. Goodwill does have a lot of camo stuff I've seen, at least around Wisconsin. I'd imagine Colorado the same thing. So just go get yourself a nice camo, whatever fits. It's not going to match. And then you're going to want some good boots, too. The boots, I would buy them new, especially if your end game is elk, because you're going to be walking a lot. You might as well just start breaking them in now.
You can't show up to deer camp, though, with brand spanking new boots, Charlie. You're going to get made fun of a little bit.
Yeah, that
so
is true.
If you do buy them new, you're going to want to rough them up a little bit. You know,
yeah.
Wear them around the house, rub them in the dirt a little bit.
Yeah, break them in. Go for a walk with them. Go for a few hikes, you know. You don't want the blisters either. So that's a good start. And make sure when you get your bow, you got to get it sighted. And then you got to know what all the sights mean. So just go out to a range somewhere. Bring yourself a paper plate. Stick it up there on the hay bales and see if you can't fill that paper plate from 10 paces and then start walking it back from there.
What kind of bow would you recommend? Dude, I think I shot a recurve bow when I was kind of learning to shoot, but like I said, it's definitely been a while.
Yeah. Well, those recurves, I'm trying to get good at a recurve right now. I don't even know what kind. This was like one that I found in my basement a while back. So the recurves are super fun, but I wouldn't recommend hunting with them until, you know, you've got quite a bit under your belt. Because you don't want to, with bow, it's easy to wound an animal and not kill it. And then you got to track it. Not really fair to the animal. So I would do a compound bow. And there's so many good ones out there. Miles, do you bow hunt? What do you got?
I have a compound bow, but I haven't been hunting. I just haven't got out there. My dad didn't really do it. And so I kind of got to get into it with maybe Ryan or Tyler that work for me.
Yeah. Those guys are big on it.
Yeah. So I don't know much about that, but
well, whatever the honestly, you get yourself over to Cabela's or wherever they've got, you know, some of them even have the indoor ranges so you can go shoot some. And it depends on your you know, how strong you are and what kind you're going to do. And then, you know, the tension you got on the boat. So there's a lot of that's kind of, that is a high entry, that's a big commitment right there with the bow.
Charlie, I can feel you sputtering a little bit. Let's just direct him to YouTube. every question that you got, search it on YouTube. There'll be an answer. The best we can give you is the advice on
Miles,
what to wear.
I feel like I'm sputtering, but I feel like the engine's kicking up something here.
Okay, well then keep going, Charlie. What else you got for him?
Well, have you ever thought about muzzleloader hunting?
You know, I've never done any of that.
Yeah, it's fun. You get to pretend like, you know, you're in the Revolutionary War or something.
Yep, Mel Gibson, Patriot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, he was.
Yeah, I would be into that. I don't know if I know a whole lot of people that do it. I think my neighbor might, but.
Yeah.
That's another good tip.
What's that?
Find an experienced guy. Be upfront with him. Say, I'm kind of a noob. Teach me your ways.
Yeah, that is good. Also, you got to get a stand. You know, if you're, God, bow hunting, there's so much. You got to get yourself a tree stand, and then you're going to want to try not to fall out of that your first time. I don't know. You are gravitating toward bow, though. Am I right?
I do kind of feel it. I do like that kind of, that vibe, I guess, a little bit more of hunting.
Yeah.
How easy is it to turkey hunt with a bow? I have no kind of mention or context.
I was going
to
say, I would start with turkey hunting because turkey hunting, you're usually, it's just, you got to wake up early, but it's going to be easier to get a turkey. You got the decoys. You got to get yourself some turkey decoys. You got to, and this is what he can start doing now between now and turkey season, start learning the calls. Yep. Get yourself a box call. That's kind of the entry level call. But if you can, get yourself a diaphragm, and that you are going to have to go to YouTube to figure out how to do those.
Practice,
I'm not very good with it.
Practice.
While you're driving, put a few, you know, diaphragm or mouthpieces in your car and then just start doing them while you're driving. Eventually, you're going to get pretty good at that. And yeah, man, I mean, I think turkey hunting would be a good one to start off with. It's camo. And then, you're good on the camo with deer if you're going to bow hunt them. So that's the way to go, I would say.
Okay. I guess kind of going back to just the general gear, you know, if there's one thing that I guess to make me look like I'm not just immediately starting off, is the one piece of gear or equipment that I should have that maybe you wish you had kind of the first time and learned about later?
So for deer hunting specifically, what's the best piece of gear?
Or just hunting in general, like just, you know, what's the piece of equipment or gear that made you, that you realized you needed later on that you didn't have when you first started, kind of deal?
You're going to need some snacks. I've been out in that stand before without the proper snackage, and I tell you what, it can get pretty lonely, pretty boring, and pretty hungry out there if you don't have the right snacks.
I'll also throw in, get yourself some, I stole my dad's battery powered socks. They took the 9-volt batteries. Those are honestly pretty good. They did get a short in them at one point, so I bet you they got some better electric powered socks. But the last thing you want, especially if you're deer hunting, there's a lot of sitting. Actually, turkey hunting as well. So, and you don't want cold feet. They're the first thing to go numb. So I would get yourself some of the socks that warm themselves.
Yeah, hunting's just like getting married, Charlie. The worst thing you can have is cold feet.
Thanks, Miles. I appreciate that.
What?
Oh, no, nothing. Nothing.
You got married. I'm not talking about your divorce.
Oh, there it is. There it is. Hey, if you're looking at bows, I got to shout out the Wisconsin bow maker Matthews. They're out there in La Crosse, on Alaska area. They're a little bit on the spendier side, but if you're looking for a nice bow, shout out to Matthews.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I definitely believe it's one of those, you know, spend the good money up front so you don't have to spend more later kind of deal.
All right, then go with that. I like it.
All right, man. Well, that was great. I wish you the best of luck Hopefully we had some tips for you in there, and also good luck hunting.
Yeah, thank you guys. I really appreciate it. You know, love you guys' podcast. Listen to it every week.
I appreciate you, and watch for deer. And if you see one, don't miss, okay?
Tell your folks I say hi.
All right, real good. Yeah, he's a nice guy.
He seems like a great guy. What we kind of didn't warn him about that I'm thinking about now, Charlie.
Yeah.
Again, we should have maybe had told him this online. Getting made fun of for being a noob in hunting is just kind of the rite of passage. You know, it's you're going to get made fun of.
Yeah.
And then eventually you're going to be able to make fun of the other new guy. And it just goes on. And that's how life should be.
Yeah. I went hunting over at my buddy's this year and I showed up with nothing. Because I came from a show, so I got made fun of even though, you know, I'd done it before. But, I just took it.
But you were there.
I just
took it.
That's
all that matters.
I didn't even defend myself. I was like, just give me your pants, please.
All right, let's take another one. Charlie.
Hi, Miles.
It is November...
something.
What is it?
9th.
It's November 9th. This last weekend, I was having a celebratory tippy cow.
Why, Miles?
Because I got a world record deer.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, how many points?
30-point buck.
He got a 30-point buck. And how'd you celebrate that?
I tip on back a tippy cow.
It's the only way to do it, yeah. Miles.
Cheers to that.
Cheers to your deers.
What about you? You go hunting yet?
Mm-hmm. I missed.
You missed.
Mm-hmm.
Classic.
Very classic.
But, hey, win or lose, we booze.
I like how you rhymed that there, Miles.
Yep.
Tipping on back with a tippy cow.
Is that what you did after you missed? You went back to the shack and you said,
it's a nice.
Didn't see nothing all day.
Yeah. That's exactly. Yeah. What were you guys doing out here? Were you banging pots next to this deer stand?
They're like, we heard some shooting over on your end. No, I think that was just ricochet in the trees. I think it came from the north.
I thought that was you guys.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't lie to me.
Yeah, I didn't see anything all day.
And then you complain about the property, how they don't know how to set it up,
Yeah, and then you're like, quit you guys yapping. Hand me the tippy cow.
And then you just tip it on back. That's it. Cheers.
Tip the cow, baby. Cheers.
Congrats on your 30-point buck. Who are the pretenders and who are the contenders? We're more than halfway through the NFL season, but DraftKings Sportsbook is still pumping out unbeatable offers every single game. New customers can bet just $5 on anything to get $200 instantly in bonus bets.
$200.
$200, Miles. DraftKings isn't stopping there, though. All customers can take advantage of a sweetener offer every game day.
Jared, what do we got for some of the lines and odds this week?
So Green Bay is +3.5 against Pittsburgh this week, and Minnesota is +2.5 against New Orleans.
Okay. Got a few lines there, Charlie. You might have to throw a couple lines in the water.
There you have it, Miles. Get in on the football action with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the app now and use code BELLIEDUP. New customers can bet just $5 on anything to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code BELLIEDUP. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas. Licensee partner, Golden Nugget Lake, Charles, Louisiana. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void and ONT. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/football. Terms for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome to the Bellied Up Podcast. Who are we talking to today?
Blake,
how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Doing good, Blake.
I got that ever.
What?
Oh, go ahead.
Where are you saying there? Where are you calling in from, Blake?
Well, I'm somewhere driving through the middle of Wisconsin right now, but I'm from southern Minnesota.
Okay. What are you doing in Wisconsin?
I sell and haul shipping containers, so I'm on my way up by Sonora, I believe.
Oh,
if you don't know where you're going, that's not good if you're the delivery guy.
Well, you know, I punch it in the deep gas and, you know, just kind of follow the dotted line there.
Okay.
It's as easy as that.
Well, why don't you belly up to the bar with us? Tell us what's on your mind.
The old lady, she works for a warehouse sort of deal or whatever. And she got forklift certified.
Oh, did she
not
actually?
Fake forklift certified. Oh, yeah. No, she took the test, went through a little class, whatever, you know.
Well, that's not fake. That sounds actually like a real forklift certification.
Does she know that you don't actually have to do all that to get forklift certified? What's the deal with that?
Does she not have a printer at home? What the hell?
Her boss put it on. So, you know, I don't, you know. But, I'm a little bit scared of the whole forklift certified stigma. I'm scared she's going to come home and start ordering me around, making me. Yeah, well.
You know, if she does, she's well within her rights to do that. She's, hate to say
it. Well, you know, I mean, you're right there. I was kind of looking for some advice on how to handle this.
Okay, so you're worried that she's going to maybe get a big head about it and she's going to get a little cocky. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, I'm a little bit, yeah.
And you should be. You should be concerned about that because she has gone the extra mile and you haven't, you know? And I think if you really want to equalize it, you too have to go through that process.
Well, so here's the question. Can you also use your CDL license as maybe a one-upper on her? You got one of those?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I got my CDL.
Well, there you go.
Well, he's clearly already tried, and he's still calling in, you know?
Well,
Have you seen some concerning behavior out of her that maybe leads you to think she is going to get real cocky about it?
You know, not yet.
Okay.
But it's only been a week.
She got it framed in her room or what?
No, not yet. But
she's not even throwing it in your face.
Well, she did right when she got it a little bit. But
what'd she say when she got it?
I don't know. I just we're on our way to supper and she says, "You never guess what I did today?" And I asked her, "No, well, what'd you do?" And she's like, "I'm forklift certified, bitch." I'm like, "Oh God, okay."
I think, honestly, dude, you found the right woman.
Yeah, seriously. You got to keep her, my man. Don't lose that one, okay?
I know I do. But
now that she's forklift certified, her stock just went up, okay? So you're going to have other fellas in the warehouse going, oh, my gosh, you really know how to work that fork. You really know how to lift that fork, you know? And yeah, there might be some competition in the workplace, so you better make sure you keep her happy, okay? Whatever she wants, she gets for at least the next 2 months.
Well, I suppose you're probably right. She's been asking me to go on a cruise, so I suppose I'll have to sacrifice a snowmobile trip this winter. And
Man.
Now she's the boss. She's forklift certified, so.
I know. Cruises suck. Have you been on a cruise before?
Oh, yeah. I love cruises.
Do you? Miles, do you like cruises?
Never been on one.
Yeah.
I did one cruise one time. Yeah. I did a Carnival cruise from Ensenada to from L.A. to Ensenada for a Blaze bachelor party. It was a nightmare scenario. You're like a prisoner on those ships.
Can't go on Carnival. You got to go on Royal Caribbean.
Oh, that was the problem. Okay.
They're a little bit, you know, so it also comes down to the right cruise, you know.
I suppose.
You got to get somebody who's forklift certified to pick it out for you.
Yeah, the smart one, yeah.
How do you sneak booze? How do you sneak booze onto the cruise ships?
I just buy the drink package and drink for free.
There you go. That brings up a good point. I need you to tell me for me here real quick. What are the things that...
How do you pick the right cruise? What do you need in a cruise to make it so that it's a great time?
I mean, you got to be in the mood for it, honestly. I'm not really in a tropical mood right now.
No, like what? When you're going to choose a cruise, what does the cruise have to have? You said that Carnival sucks. What does Royal Caribbean have that the other one doesn't?
I don't know. They're just a little bit nicer, I think. I don't know. I've never been on a Carnival. I've only ever been on Royal Caribbean. So I honestly couldn't tell you. I just heard Royal Caribbean's nicer. So.
Okay.
But, well, I mean, you look at your options on what you can do when you go to shore.
That's true. It's a whole cruise mentality.
You got to do them excursions.
Yep. Got to get off the deal.
Well, man, I wish you the best of luck with dealing with the forklift certification, and just stay strong out there, but maybe lean into it. Now you can pawn off some stuff onto her because she's way more qualified now than you are, right? So you get to sit back more.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's some good uses to this. She can run the forklift for me now.
Yep, there you go. Yeah. Well, we appreciate you calling in, man.
And tell your wife we say...
Yeah, appreciate you answering.
Tell her we say congratulations.
All right, I will.
All right, talk soon now.
For sure.
But hello, welcome to the Bellied Up Podcast. What's your name?
Mackenzie,
what's going on? Where are you at? What are you up to?
I am in Marshall, Minnesota, and I am a music elementary school teacher.
Okay. Marshall, Minnesota. I got a guy that works for me who went to college in Marshall. Don't meet a lot of people from there. So glad you called in.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, why don't you belly up to the bar with us? Tell us what's on your mind.
So I've lived in Minnesota all my life. I'm pretty Midwest. I have a pretty thick Midwest accent. But my significant other is from the cities area. He grew up in Edina, Minnetonka area, the cake eater land, as we would say here in Minnesota.
I was wondering if you were going to say that, yeah.
And I am wondering, how do I make him more Midwestern? He doesn't like to drink beer, but neither do I, but he doesn't like sports either. He is very much city boy. So how do I make him a Midwest boy?
Well, what do you like to do? Let's start there. You're a Midwest gal. What are your kind of hobbies? What do you like to do in your free time?
I love to watch hockey.
Big old hockey fan.
I love that. You are Minnesotan through and through, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I love hockey. I'm actually wearing a hockey jersey right now. My classroom, all my kids sit on hockey teams, so I know where they're at.
Wait, they sit on hockey teams? What did she say?
So I made name tags to put on the floor so my kids can sit on name tags and they have or sit somewhere. They have assigned seating and they can sit on a hockey team. So they have a hockey team they're supposed to sit on.
Oh, nice.
Oh, okay.
It's a hockey classroom.
I like it.
And what's the name of your fellow? What's his name?
Zach.
And Zach grew up,
Well, does he like hockey?
He's starting to get into it, but doesn't care as much as I would. He doesn't really care for the winter. He doesn't even have a Midwest accent.
Well, I think you start off by playing the Mighty Ducks for him, so he learns a little bit about hockey and also the fact that he's a cake eater, you know. That'll work.
That's where he learned the term cake eater. I did show him the first one, and he didn't care for it.
Oh, dang it.
So this is your
I'm trying to get him to watch the other ones, because the second one's my favorite, to be honest.
Yeah. D2.
So he doesn't like that. You said this is your husband, your boyfriend? What was...
Fiance.
Okay. Well, no, congratulations.
Thank you.
I think you're looking for a pivotal moment, honestly. I think what you're going to have to do is do the spray and pray type of method. Just start engulfing him in Midwest culture things. We're at a bar right now here in Milwaukee. They open up at 6 a.m. maybe you try that. Take him to a bar, 6 a.m., dive bar, small town bar. Get him a Wisconsin Old Fashioned, Charlie.
There you go, brandy.
Get him going there. Maybe cheese curds, some ranch, all that stuff, and just start trying it. And eventually, I think it'll click. Everyone clicks at some point, Charlie.
Yeah, you do kind of have to throw the kitchen sink at him at this point. What does he like to do? Maybe there's something we can find in what he likes to do and make the pivot from there.
He is a huge history nerd. Right now, he is going back to get his master's to be a history teacher, but he also likes video games. Right now, he's actually having students make board games in his class. So.
Board games. So he's a board game guy.
Oh, yeah. We play board games almost every night.
Well, maybe the two of you can make a cribbage board together.
We could do that.
Yeah, that would be fun, you know, if he's into that. And cribbage, I mean, it doesn't get any more Midwest than a little game of cribbage. Very Wisconsin game, you know, but that's okay. And he's not into any sports. He's not a Vikings fan. Twins fan, nothing like that.
Huh? No, he's not. His family's really into football. My family's really into football. I'm not really into football, but I'm really into hockey, and I've been trying to get him to watch hockey. I think I made a breakthrough because during this, my favorite team is the Golden Knights. I know I'm a traitor to, you know, the Wild, but when the Knights were making it to the Stanley Cup, he made sure that we were in, like, a good service area so I could listen to the game or watch it somehow. So,
well, that, I mean, he cares about you. You got that going. From a history perspective, maybe he dives into a little bit of what kind of history is he specializing in? Maybe there's a way to get some Midwest history in there and get him on the story. He likes the stories. Maybe you can get him in the story of how hockey came, you know, to the Midwest.
Yeah, he's really into the Civil War, so I think I could definitely play into the hockey area when it comes to...
Hey, get him into muzzle-loading hunting, Charlie. Stuff.
That's it. He could become a muzzle-loader hunter, you know?
And your spin is just, this is what they used to use in the Civil War, man. Isn't it awesome?
Yeah. Start off going to, like, one of those reenactment places, you know? That'd be good. And then from there, you guys can hunt like you are, you know, in the Civil War times.
No, I got another same question weaponry for you. You said you're a teacher, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you're a music teacher.
Yes, sir.
I imagine you have quite a few students that don't give a rat's ass about music. Am I right?
Almost definitely.
So I'll put it back on you. You as a teacher, what do you do to try and get those kids into music, even if they're not really?
I've asked them what they like to do, in music. And so some kids like dancing, some kids just like listening. I try to incorporate their genres. I'm in Southern Minnesota, so I'm really playing a lot of country music in my classroom. And playing a lot of stuff that they would recognize and know.
So there you go. Make a list of stuff that you want them to get into and say, all right, if you want to get married, you got to pick at least one of these things on here and we got to do them and you're going to like it. Well, otherwise, we're not getting married. Give them an ultimatum.
Ultimatum's a good way to go.
And always good to start off a marriage with an ultimatum. That's my motto, honestly. I got one for man, so.
And Miles has been married for almost 5.5 months now.
Yep,
so
still married.
He knows a thing or two about that. We'll wait for it to get to the full year before we double down and commit on it. But, you know, I think he kind of knows what he's talking about.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. I actually have my next class coming in. I would definitely take your advice, and I'll see where it goes, and I'll call back in and let you guys know.
All right. Well, we'll spare you the Midwest goodbye since you got another class coming in. And tell your students we say hi, all right?
We'll do. Tell your folks we say hi and watch out for deer.
All right. Real good deal.
What do you think, Charlie?
I mean, I wish she didn't have that class to get to. I had kind of more questions about
how. I thought we were making some headway.
I guess I was going to say, like, maybe there she could do a trade-off. He gives her an ultimatum, you know. Maybe she learns a little bit about the Civil War history, and then he learns how to.
Like, I mean, honestly, though, I think that that call was kind of a microcosm of just marriage in general.
Yeah.
You know, your partner, you'll have some stuff you like about them. They have some stuff that you just put up with. You try and do stuff together. She has her thing. You have yours. Once in a while, they cross paths. And basically, you just try not to kill each other, I think, is what it's all about. And so I don't think that it'll work out for them.
So beautifully said, Miles. So beautifully said.
Just try not to kill each other.
Well, does that do it for another episode of the...
I think it does, Charles.
Miles, it's been a pleasure.
The Clementine bar here is now fully popping.
Yeah, you got to eat your old-fashioned cupcake.
I'm getting there, Charlie.
I had mine. Oh, it was good.
And well, thanks, guys, for tuning in to another episode of the Bellied Up Podcast. We will see you the next one. And, Charlie, as always...
Don't forget to tip your bartender.
Love you guys.